This is the Senate CRA Committee. It's approximately 9:03. Members present, Senator Taylor, Senator Adams, and Senator Zaroff will be coming here shortly, along as with Senator Lehman. It's the chair's intent to take up HGR 37 first. I see the aide is trying to get the prime sponsor in this room. And then Senate Bill 136 and Senate Bill 2. And we have a teleconference site. We have approximately 1 hour to do all this because three of the members of this committee have a caucus at 10 o'clock. So for those on the teleconference sites, please make your statements short and to the point, because that's the only way we're going to accommodate everybody's needs here on these bills. Okay, we're going to go ahead and take up HGR 37, Federal Monies for Rural Water and Sewer Projects.
You ready for a motion, Mr. Chairman?
Not yet, Mr. Adams.
Mr. Chairman, Roger McCown from Representative Poppins' office. He's on his way down the steps right now.
You want to make a short speech for this?
We have just a brief sponsor statement.
Name and for the record, please.
Morning, for the record. My name is Roger McCown, aide to Representative Lyman Hoffman. Mr. Chairman and members of the committee, some pretty unfortunate things have happened in rural Alaska over a number of years that I know you're all aware with. Less than a month ago, a four-year-old girl drowned in a sewage lagoon in New Halen. The list could go on. Stories of meningitis, stories of disease. Representative Hoffman has discovered a potential funding source in D.C. in the form of House Resolution 1033, and I can let him continue if you like.
No.
That would provide $300 million worth of funding for rural construction of rural water and sewer facilities in specifically economically depressed rural areas. We have worked with Congressman Hayes' office, who sponsored the bill in D.C., and they certainly have been open to working with our congressional delegation for the special problems that we suffer from, considering we have 75% of the native wastewater problems in the entire United States in this state. And they've been very flexible. And if you have any technical questions, Keith Kelton from D.C. is here as well.
Questions? Pleasure of the committee.
Mr. President.
Bill.
Mr. Adams.
Yes. I move HGR 37 on the committee with individual recommendations.
Any objections?
No.
Therefore, HGR 37 goes on to the next committee referral, which will be Senate Hess.
Thank you.
Okay, we're going to take up Senate Bill 136.
I just called Senator Lincoln, so you'll have to.
You're one effective rascal, I mean.
Welcome to politics. Oh, I need somebody over here. Soon.
We are waiting for Senator Lincoln to come to the room here, so please stand by. And preclude the traditional way of doing things here, which is primarily sponsor speaks first. Is there anybody here in Juneau that wants to testify on Senate Bill 136, first of all? Okay, Willie? Your name and affiliation, please, for the record. Go right ahead.
Good morning. My name is Willie Anderson. I work for NEA Alaska, and I rise in support of Senate Bill 136. The tragedy of Senate Bill 136 is that this has taken so long to come to the forefront. This is a issue that we need to address in our community and in our schools. It is clear that the native languages in our state has been slowly dying out with the elders, and the fact that we do not have it as a part of our school curriculum is a tragedy. We should correct the situation, and by passage of SB 136, we will attempt to correct this tragedy that has existed in the state for all too long. I'll be glad to answer any questions in terms of our support, our rationale, and any other question you may have.
For the record, Senator Lehman is present. Any questions from the committee on Senate Bill 136? Okay, Willie, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Okay, we're going to go to the teleconference sites. We'll first go to Bethel. And if I mispronounced your name, I apologize. Charles Kashtuck.
Yes, sir. This is John Kashtuck from the Lower Kuskokwim School District.
Go ahead.
Yeah, the Lower Kuskokwim School District supports this bill with the following exceptions. In section 1430 particular expenditure of funds for districts to be mandated to utilize University of Alaska instructors and instructional materials when a district may have already developed materials and or may have qualified native instructors on staff. For instance, the LKSD currently employs approximately 50 certificated native teachers, and about 45 of whom speak the Yupik language and has a well-established Yupik language program in schools and have developed materials for that program. We feel that teachers required to use materials that we may not need or may not be appropriate to our program would be in the best, would not be in the best interest of the students. In addition, the district offers training and scholarship support for university work to our Yupik First Language Associate teachers who assist them in becoming certificated teachers. The district does support the requirement that a summary and evaluation of the district's native language curriculum be included in the annual report card and that the decision to require native language education curriculum be made at the school level.
Is that the end of your testimony, sir?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Questions? Senator Taylor?
Yes, is it? Is the language being taught in your district at this time?
Yes, sir. We have 26 sites, or 23 of whom, we have most of our sites on Yupik First Language Program, which is at the children who come to our schools are taught from kindergarten to third grade, totally in Yupik, and with 1 hour of English per day until they get to fourth grade, then we transition into the English program. So we have many who teach the Yupik language, Yupik orthography, which is writing in Yupik, and we feel that we have developed materials that would support the native language.
What difference then would this legislation make in your district since you're already doing it?
Well, I think I was just saying that we should not be limited to just the university language, University of Alaska instructors and instruction materials when we already have some materials in our district.
Yeah, I understand that, but since you're already doing what this legislation would require you and other districts to do, how would this this legislation change anything in your district?
I think that this would support what we have started in our district.
Okay, thank you.
Further questions? Okay, thank you. Senator Lincoln, you have the floor.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I think that some of the...
for the record.
Oh, for the record, I'm Senator Lincoln, and you have before you Senate Bill SB 136. I know there are a number of people who want to testify on this, so I'll make this very brief. First of all, the reason for the bill is that there are a number of schools that are now teaching bilingual, but I want to make it very clear that this bill is not a bilingual bill. This is a language bill. It would be, as using as an example, I think I have a fairly good command of the English language, and if you sent me to a foreign country and told me to teach the students English, I wouldn't have the foggiest idea how to teach the language. What I would do is teach the students how to say mother, father, grandmother, grandfather, the English words for animals in their country, good morning, and that's exactly what is occurring in many of our villages around the state. Is that when we are bilingual, we have native speaking instructors who are teaching words, not the language, because they don't have the material, they don't have the training to teach it as a language. One of the big changes that we have, and I apologize that it didn't get in as the sponsor substitute, but I would propose that the committee take it under advisement and under, let me find it here, under page 3, line 17, and for those who are listening in, it does make a big difference. There's in which a majority of Alaska's in which a majority of the students are Alaska Natives shall establish a local native language. We changed that to may. And on page 3, line 21.
Senator Lincoln.
Yes.
This was on your sponsor substitute.
Yeah.
This is.
I have it right here.
This is an amendment.
Oh, the amendment.
Needs right. to be adopted by this committee because it was not a part of the sponsor substitute. And the second change was the other shall to a may on line 21. And the major concern that has been expressed about this bill is that it did not allow the school districts enough of an option here. And by changing it from a shall to a may, then it's up to the local individuals, it's up to the school boards to determine whether they want to have the native language. And also I want to stress that we have, and why I did have the University of Alaska in there, is because there is a native language, a number of native language courses that are being taught through the university as a language. Yupik, Inupiaq, Athabascan, Koyukon, Kuchin. I don't know whether the Tlingit, but with the use of the satellite, right now many of our villages have the option of having Japanese, Russian, or Spanish as one of the three languages that they can choose in, say, Nulato. And the fourth language I'm proposing should be Alaska Native, that they would choose from in using a satellite system, not saying that every site has to have a language instructor. If they do, that's wonderful. But the majority of our communities do not have certified instructors that can teach the language as a language instead of bilingual. Those are the major differences that are in the bill. And I wanted to stress again that we not confuse bilingual with language. And perhaps in just reading one of the school districts or the University of Alaska, the Interior Campus, wrote a note that says, the issue of requiring native languages in REAAs points out a greater weakness in our schools. Specifically, regional school boards now have the authority to demand such programs, but for the most part, they have not. It is my growing opinion that the majority of REAA school boards are programmed by their respective administrators. Subsequent training by most statewide and regional organizations reinforced the limitations of school board members' powers rather than the potential impact they make, especially as individuals. Whether by design or by default, well-meaning school board members are consistently being trained away from independent thought and action. New attempts at charges or changes, such as required native language curriculum, are thwarted by entrenched administrators and their influence over unwary boards. The one of the school boards opposed, when I had it in as a House bill, had opposed the House bill. And there were 59 people that signed in one community, a small community, and wrote, Huslia does not agree with the stand of the school board and indeed strongly supports having native language taught in the classroom. We would also like to remind the school board members that they are supposed to represent the people of the villages and should make an effort to find out what the villages want before they make a stand. The school boards really mean well in looking at the language. And again, I think sometimes too often administrators get it confused with bilingual in saying that we have the language available or we are teaching it. They're not teaching it as a language. It will never survive as being taught as a bilingual language. I think that's basically what I wanted to say, Mr. Chairman, and I know there are a number of people that are online that want to testify, so I'd like to...
There's one thing I want to add. In your response to substitute, you did indeed change the effective date.
Yes.
So
yes.
That's the only other change. Senator Taylor?
Yes, Senator Lincoln, the two amendments that you're proposing, changing the words shall to may, mm-hmm. would appear to place the situation right back in that the situation that you're criticizing today. In other words, it would make it totally optional for the board to make the decision whether or not to train in the language.
Mm-hmm.
It's my understanding they have the authority and the option to do that today, and they're choosing not to do so. Can you tell me how, once we've amended the bill to reflect the two words may, how we've done anything?
Certainly. The school board, once this is in effect, this it says a school board may establish a local native language curriculum advisory board. That is not available right now, of having a native language curriculum board. And that furthermore, that it speaks of it as a native language and not bilingual. And it talks about the instructors being certified. That bill has already passed and is in law. It gives a little bit more of the how-tos of getting this established. As some of you are aware, Senator Murkowski has worked to get, I believe it was $2.5 million each year over a five-year period for preservation and enhancement of the native language. I think it would, with this bill, it would do more to get federal money, to get other funding sources for the school districts to implement this. It highlights much more the need for the native language, which hasn't been done in the past. Again, in the past, we've talked about bilingual because that was bilingual money. And this is talking about it as a language. And I think that it, with the support letters, and I believe that as I left my office, there was a 12-page fax that was coming through from one of the regional nonprofits in support of this. It emphasizes language. I believe that the Native Language Curriculum Advisory Boards would then have more meaning than what there is now.
Further questions, Senator
yes.
Adams? Senator Lehman, in that order.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Senator, it says that on page number 3, lines 24, 25, and 26, each school board shall conduct a program of native language education, shall implement the program as part of the regular classroom studies, and shall utilize, and it says, one instructors who are certified, but the one I'm interested in, the statute 1420.025, so that local school boards can give limited certifications to local people, people that can speak different languages, right? And they are able, under this particular statute, to utilize local equipment and material. Is that how you read that also?
That's absolutely correct. And there are a small number of sites across the state now that have instructors that are certified as teaching it as a language. And those individuals would be, it says shall utilize. So that was one of the intents of this bill, to utilize local people if they're available there.
I think this language here takes care of the concern that came down from Charlie, who spoke before you
yes.
came in. So this is from Bethel area. So I have no problem with the bill, and whenever it gets time to make the proper amendments on the bill. And we do have a fiscal note, I believe, now.
Which we just got about 10 minutes ago.
Yeah.
Senator Lehman.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Senator Lincoln, I'm just looking at the trigger mechanism in Section 4 and when this may take effect. It says when a majority of the students are Alaska Native. In your experience, and I would think probably it would be somewhere in your district where this might occur, is there ever a school district where a majority of the students are Natives, but there are more than one language spoken in the communities to where the school district may be implementing a language program of more than one of the languages?
In fact, Senator Lehman, we spoke of that in a few communities where students are perhaps Athabascan and Inupiat, but it's from the community that is perhaps Athabascan. And I talked about that with some of the school boards, some of the parents, some of the students, and I don't believe that they can offer more than one native language, at the beginning anyway. And what I suggested was, in each community there is a dominant language that's spoken. It's usually an Athabascan community, it's an Inupiat, a Yupik. So they know what the language is. It might be a few students that have transferred from another area that are of another tribe, but they predominantly, it would be one language that is spoken in that community. And I think it's not going to be a problem that I see anywhere.
Mr. Chairman,
Mr. Lehman?
I think you're right in that community, but within a school district, which likely would be a group of communities, it's quite possible that we would have more than one, maybe two, possibly more than that, but maybe more than one language developed in that curriculum in that school district, but perhaps only one implemented in any one school.
Sure, within a school district there might be more than one language that's developed, but within one community I think they would have to have one language that they would agree upon.
Okay, Senator Lincoln, thank you very much. We have a whole lot of people teleconference, so those on the teleconference site, please make your statement short. The only reason we gave the sponsor more time was because she's the sponsor of the bill. We're going to go to Fairbanks, and I believe is it Reva Chassel? Or is it Reva?
Reva.
Reva?
This is Reva Chassel.
Go ahead.
My name is Reva Chassel. I'm the Director of Education for the Tandem Chiefs Conference. I'm participating today in this teleconference not to reiterate issues which are well documented, and I'm sure genuinely accepted by the committee. But I'd like to state for the record my concern that no fiscal note is attached to this bill to support the actual development of a native language curriculum. In principle, I support the general intent of the bill with the following changes. On page 3 in section 4, line 16, closing, that...
That'd be trouble. That's where it needs to be, yeah. Where the majority is.
That sentence that reads, if the local native languages, native language curriculum advisory board recommends the establishment of the native language education curriculum for a school, the school board shall initiate and conduct the native language education curriculum for grades K through 12 at, in that school. We are proposing that it reads, the native language curriculum advisory board may be separate from the advisory school board, but if the community chooses, nothing shall prevent an existing local advisory school board from being the native language curriculum advisory board. And this would, the changes, we believe, would afford for greater flexibility at the local level. On line 22, with the sentence that reads, the program must include native languages traditionally spoken in the community in which the school is located, we are proposing that the sentence be reworded to read, the program must include but need not be limited to native languages traditionally spoken in the community in which the school is located. And the rationale for that is that we have some villages within our region that have traditionally spoken, for example, in Dalit, but now have substantial Yupik population. And we believe that with the rewording of that sentence, that the option would be included in the bill that would establish that the language needs of the second population would be served.
That's just fish, Al.
Is that the end of your testimony?
Yes, it is.
Okay, thank you. Any questions? Okay, hearing none. We're going to go to Nome, and I will not attempt to pronounce the last name, but we have a Barb from Nome. Is there a Barb from Nome?
Yes, this is Barb Pingali. I'm a Native Programs Coordinator for Nome Public Schools. I support Senate Bill 136. Legislative finding number 6 is especially important because right now, today, we have resources. People who know and speak the languages. If we establish language curriculum now, we will not be starting from scratch. Natives have experienced many losses, but if we work now, language doesn't have to be one of them. It must be done now. This is more than just an Alaska legislative issue. It's an issue of Inuit circumpolar survival. Greenland has been fortunate in establishing home rule and Inuktitut as one of their official languages. We must not allow our language to die in this country either. The fact is that language is not being taught in many homes, so it is our responsibility and obligation to avoid this loss, this destruction of our Inuit language. I see this bill as a request for support of an endeavor to avoid extinction. I have a quote from Harold Napoleon's paper. As for the state of Alaska, it must realize that Native people are not its enemies, seeking to undermine it. They are, in fact, the state's first citizens who never went to war against the immigrants who later settled here, but rather have accepted them with open arms. Relations are sad between the state and its first citizens who gave up so much so that they could exist together. Certainly this can change. The state must play a role in helping its first citizens back to health, end of quote. At Nome Public Schools, we do have a bilingual bicultural grant, but it's not enough. I agree with Senator Lincoln about the differences. We are able to hire only one instructor who is responsible for providing services to over 700 students. She is responsible for developing her own curriculum and must accommodate the schedules of the classroom teachers. She is responsible for not only providing a language maintenance program, but also an ESL program for students of all backgrounds, not just Native. I think that section 143420 is also important, and I would suggest that our Native Education Committee serve as the Native Language Curriculum Advisory Board. They meet monthly and participate actively in the implementation and evaluation of the Nome Public Schools Native Programs Office. And that's all I have.
Thank you very much. Questions? Seeing none, we'll go to Toke and Mr. Chuck Wilson.
Chuck Miller, worker at NSC, is here in
Okay, I'm sorry. I have just Chuck Wilson here, so go right ahead. Mr. Miller?
Yeah, I'm just like to say that I support this bill. In my opinion, this is one of the most important education bills before the Senate. Being of a Alaska native and not being able to speak my own language, I feel like there's so much missing. When I was in school, the native language wasn't taught, and English is what was mostly spoken at home. I feel our native language is the basis of our culture. If we let our language disappear, I fear our traditional ways will soon follow. We need to understand who we are and where we come from. Without our native language, it makes it so much harder to learn the old ways When the native language is translated into English, it loses so much of its meaning. We must take some sort of caution soon before the whole culture disappears. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Miller. Questions? Seeing none. Now we're going to go to Beryl. Karen. Heggy. H-A. Is Karen online in Beryl?
Ms. Heggy was an observer, not a testifier.
Alrighty. Alright, I know that. We have a I have a message here from Galena School District has joined the teleconference, but no person. Is there anybody in Galena to testify? Which was Miss Bell.
Yes, there is. Thank you. This is Carol Hangen. Our testimony 2 years ago, our name is Andrew
Take it, that's the end of the testimony. Okay, the next person we're going to go to is, how do you pronounce this, Fred? This community?
Is that Eleknadik?
Eleknadik, or Esther Lusick.
Good morning, this is Esther Lusick.
Go right ahead, ma'am.
This is Eskimo, a certified teacher from Eleknadik. I am currently teaching in my home village. I have been certified since 1976, and some of my past experiences include working with the statewide Head Start program, with the University of Alaska Cross-Cultural Education Teacher Training Program, and with the Southwest Teaching Schools as a bilingual coordinator. And for the past 4 years, as a classroom teacher in my home village of Alaska, I would like to support this bill. As a Yupik Eskimo, I see our language slipping away, especially within the Bristol Bay area. We continue to have many outside or visiting educators and administrators who do not value the Yupik language or culture, and do not support the present Yupik language and do support the present Yupik language instruction minimally through the present bilingual cultural education regulations. With a certified instructor, it would make a more valid language program, as we see with other foreign language languages taught within the schools. They all have to be certified within that language area. And it would really be an incentive for the present paraprofessional to become a certified native language instructor. My only concern is that with another board being established, what would the guidelines be to serve on the board? I hope that it would not exclude certified native teachers from serving on it. That's all I have. Thank you.
Thank you very much. No questions here so far. We'll go back to Tok and then the Fairbanks. In Tok, I have a Richard Thomas.
Yes, my name is Richard Thomas. Work for the Tanana Chief's office.
Go right ahead, sir.
Yeah, I just want to say that I'm in support of 136. I feel that both of our elders in the Tok area are passing on. which leaves us with our parents and a handful of elders to teach me and many newborns our language. If our language is not taught soon, it will perish along with our traditions. I'd just like to say I'm strongly in support of 136.
Okay, thank you. In Fairbanks, Michael Cross, very briefly, please, because we are running out of time, and we have one more bill.
Yes, sir, happy to. I'm Michael Cross, director of the Alaska Native Language Center at the University of Alaska at Fairbanks, and as the senator knows, a long-time student and supporter of Alaska Native Languages. I strongly support this bill, hope it will be passed, but urge at the same time that a most realistic view be taken of the result of an educational or school program, that people have to have a realistic view, an understanding of what a school program can do, and if the school program alone, unless it is a radical program, something like total immersion in the school, is not likely to bring back in 1 or 2 years a new generation of youngsters who are fluent in the language. This will take many years and hard work and some radical innovations, including things like native language speaking nursery schools or language nests, total immersion programs, and so on. But I would like to say that we at the Alaska Native Language Center at the University in Fairbanks are most supportive of this bill and will work as best we can for it. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Questions?
I'm here to ask questions.
No questions
here. Since the bill does not mandate that anyone do anything about language, how will it change the options that are currently available today, and how do you believe it will impact the people you're currently working with today who apparently are not choosing to take advantage of the programs you offer?
Brief answer, please.
I think this is the only way to get something started out in the communities by programs that we ourselves offer at the University of Fairbanks. Only those who are actually here can get any benefit from it, and our outreach at this point would have to be vastly increased, of course, in order to be able to support the programs that they would need for teacher training and curriculum development.
Okay, thank you. I have one other person from Barrow, Molly Peterson.
Okay, good morning. My name is Molly Peterson. I work for the North Laborde School District as an UPF language staff developer. I have been working with the UPF language teachers for the past 12 years and have been concerned with the loss of our native language for a lot longer. I support the legislation which will require the school district to provide curriculum and teach the native languages of Alaska because of the
Okay, thank you very much. Have I missed anybody or anywhere around the state with the exception of Juneau? Okay, I think we've covered all the teleconference sites. Anybody here in Juneau that want to testify? We have one person here. Your name and affiliation, please.
Mr. Chairman, my name is Vince Barry. I represent the Department of Education. The department would like the committee to know that it is supports the concept of this bill and is deeply involved in the teaching of native language. I would just want to go on record again as making it clear that we are not interested in it being imposed, any curriculum. As was just stated in terms of the amendments, the department would accept the amendments that were just given. And you have the fiscal note.
Yeah, which we just got a few minutes ago.
Just got a few minutes ago.
That's one of the main reasons why we're going to hold this bill over to a later date, because of the fiscal note.
I just wanted to mention also I brought Ann Kessler, who's an expert in bilingual bicultural education, if you have some technical questions, but maybe I can
questions
help
from the committee?
If I could.
Mr. Taylor.
I guess I'm having a hard time understanding. You support the Department of Education supports the concept.
That's right.
But would not support the legislation if it were mandatory without the amendments. In other words, the word shall were left in there, so it actually had some teeth in it, was going to make something happen. You would not support it, right?
That's right. The department has a history of not supporting the issues that are specific to curriculum. We are asked to support all kinds of various curricula.
So that we modify it through the amendment process and insert the words may, so it then becomes optional to the school districts themselves, just as it is today.
That's correct.
So we haven't accomplished anything except we've said to everybody, you really ought to do this if you can.
That's correct. That's what the legislature has said. That's right.
Okay. Thank you.
Mr. Zora?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. With that amendment, if it were adopted, What effect would that have on the fiscal note?
Well, the fiscal note is based on the idea that the six districts who are not in the bilingual program at the moment would join the bilingual program, and that's what this cost represents. The point was made, just a little minimal a point that was made earlier, just to further explain it. The bilingual program has two parts. One is it teaches English as a second language. The other is it delves into the specifics of language. And we have a listing of districts that are engaged in bilingual education. It has a title. It's called Partial Maintenance. And it's Partial Maintenance of the Native Languages. And what that means is there's 30 districts involved. And the way that they're involved is as best they can be involved, school by school. In my particular case, the last village that I left, on Tuesday and Thursday nights, I'd go pick up the elders, four women, bring them to school. Their children and grandchildren on those evenings came to learn the language, and we did that for the entire winter. That's a type and kind of activity that's happening. The point that was made about immersion is probably the way to go eventually, total immersion in the languages.
Mr. Taylor.
Yeah, it gets us directly to the point that Senator Adams was kind enough to raise, and I think it's a very important one, at least it is to me. Why in the world do we have to do this in the evening or as a Johnson O'Malley program tagged on? Why can't it be a body and a part of the daily curriculum? In other words, why aren't those four ladies that you were talking about being picked up at 10 o'clock in the morning and going into the classroom and being given the same level of respect and dignity that the rest of the teaching staff is, and then said, this is an important thing in our community. Now it's available for you. You're going to have languages before lunch.
And we did that the second year.
Okay.
That was the approach.
But there was nothing in our law today that prevented you from doing that, was
there? That's correct. There was nothing that prevented that. As you hear the Native people speaking about their languages, it is an extremely difficult circumstance to get that type of act together in any particular village based on the fact that there isn't widespread involvement in the languages. This gets it up on the table again. This issue gets up on the table, and it shows the interest of the legislature, as the department has been interested in the languages of the Native people, and support it as best we can, however we can. And there is no easy out in getting at it. If there is no simplistic formula, it'll be school by school and village by village. That's how they can best put this together.
I have a question of you. Is there a way we can find out what the fiscal impact would be on the local school districts Can you get that information, or do we have to ask all the local school districts what the fiscal impact?
I'll get you an answer.
Yeah, that's
I'll
what get I want to find out. What the impact would be on the local governments around the state, organized as well as unorganized. Well, Adams?
Mr. Chairman, I'm hoping we're not going to hold that bill until we get that particular survey. In the past, in our school districts, we have been teaching Spanish, Russia, Chinese, Koreans, and foreign languages, and yet we're talking about Alaska Native languages. I'm hoping that we don't delay this bill here in committee. It's well supported in our state, and I'm hoping that we can look at it for a week and then move the bill on. And I'm hoping we're not going to sit around and send a questionnaire to every school district.
Can you answer that question?
Well,
are
I think
sending out questionnaires?
Pardon?
Are you sending out questionnaires?
Would we send out questionnaires to answer this question?
Yes.
No, I think that the fiscal impact is stated here as it it indicates in terms of bilingual education. That would be the cost. That would be the fiscal impact. The rest of the districts are receiving these dollars and could so choose to spend them.
So that information is readily available, relatively speaking. Are you Ms. Kessler?
Yes. I wanted to introduce
For the record,
come on,
please.
Come up.
This is Ann Kessler from the Alaska Department of Education. I work with bilingual programs. And in answer to the question that came up, we had prepared information about this last year when it was a House bill. Mm-hmm. So I wanted to share that information with you. In our estimates, we proposed that it would cost approximately $60,000 per site to develop a new native language program in a site that does not currently have one. And we also looked at the school sites throughout the state and contrasted the school districts and the sites that had more than 50% Native students, which is what was required in the bill, majority of Native students, with those that currently have bilingual programs, and tried to do a match. We came up with 63 school sites that do not currently have bilingual money, but that do have more than 50% Native students. So you would take the 60,000 times 63 sites. And I don't have that total figure here, but that's what we estimated it would cost as a new cost to districts.
Okay. Can you make that information available as soon as possible to this committee?
Sure.
Mr. Adams.
That's only if they want the program. It's not automatically that you multiply 60 times 60.
Exactly. That's right.
The way the bill, and you should be specific with that, because somebody's going to say this bill costs too much on your testimony, because that's up to a local school board to make that decision.
That's right. If all 63, it would be 63 times 60.
Yeah,
of course, thank you for pointing
Mr.
that out.
Mr. Chairman, I'd like to also point out that some of those districts are already doing this without bilingual money. They're using Indian Ed money as an example. So we would have to take a specific look at how many of these 60 were not engaged, for instance. So the number would be less than 60.
All right. Further questions? Mr. Zaroff, and then Mr. Taylor.
Okay. How many students does it take to initiate a bilingual program within a school district without a bilingual program?
Currently, school districts are required to provide a bilingual program if they have 8 or more students who are of limited English proficiency. However, there are districts that have bilingual programs that have less than 8, but they are required to create one if there are 8 or more students in any one site.
Okay. Mr. Chairman, what is the definition of a bilingual program?
It's a program that serves students who are limited English proficient, and it's hard to, you know, there are many options in the way that the students are served. So I can't really give you just a simple definition of what a bilingual program is. But a bilingual program meets the special needs of those students to help them succeed in the regular curriculum.
And then when you say, like, developing a curriculum, what do you mean by that?
Developing a curriculum in any language, including a native language, would mean that you have to have teacher training. You have to have teachers who are not only familiar with the language but know how to teach. You have to have materials, and you have to have instruction. And that's how we came up with the $60,000, that there would have to be money invested in securing and training teachers in developing and creating and buying materials, or in the place of printed materials, that money could go into satellite, type programs.
Mr. Chairman, just kind of as a follow-up, in a number of the bilingual programs that I have seen there, I don't know if they've been developed around a curriculum or not, but people from within the community that have a basis there for both languages come in as not necessarily teachers, but as teacher aides, mm-hmm. to work with the students, and that isn't that a less costly type program, or?
It can be less costly to the district. That varies a lot district by district. Our bilingual regulations ask for certified teachers but allow districts to bring in paraprofessionals where non-certificated teachers are unavailable. And in that case, districts call them very many different titles. They call them instructors, teacher aides, bilingual instructors, and the salary schedules vary quite a bit. Many districts go and apply for the locally recognized expert status, which is a special type of certification. They are actually certified, but it's not a type A certification, it's a type E. And they tend to earn, in some districts, equal amount to the regular teacher, type A teacher, and some districts maybe a slight lower scale, but higher than a teacher aide by far.
Just one other question. Then the $60,000 per
site.
Per site, then, to develop a program, is that an average, or is that a high, or is it a low? And if it's a high or a low, or if it's an average, what is the range that you're looking at? How do you come up with $60,000 per site?
It was based on the unit cost that districts get for bilingual money, and so it could be less in some sites. But usually, if there's not an existing program, they're allotted that. The percentage of what you do with your $60,000 would vary. In some districts, like the Lower Kuskokwim that testified earlier, they have a lot of materials. So they could invest their money into other things, maybe some satellite programs or something like that. But if you take a district that doesn't have anything, developing materials becomes a major task and isn't, hours by hours of painstaking work.
So you're just looking at then as one instructional unit.
That was where we started in coming up to $60,000. I agree we probably could work on that figure and refine it.
Okay.
At the request, we'd be happy to.
Thank you. We're going to hold this bill and then take up Senate Bill 2, pay equity based on value of work.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Mr. Donnelly.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Go right ahead. Whoever's on teleconference. Yeah, I know. Mr. Donnelly, if you would mind to stand by, I'd like to take some testimony from the public on the teleconference. But stay there if you want. Okay. In Valdez, we have a Pat Jones. Are you online?
Yes, I am.
Go right ahead, very briefly, because we're going to have to break up for a caucus here.
My name is Patricia Jones. I'm a female employee of the state of Alaska. I'm a member of ASDA Acting Local 52, and I'm president here of the ASDA Revision Committee. I would like to discuss a letter from Senator Joseph Wilkie dated November 23rd, 1993. The letter consists of comments Mr. Wilkie offers Senator Phillips regarding Senate Bill 2. In the letter, Mr. Wilkie describes himself as a retired state employee. Some of his responsibilities during the last 8 years of his state employment were to work hiring registers, interview prospective employees, and make hiring decisions. Mr. Wilkie states that in order to ascertain whether gender-based discrimination is taking place in the state of Alaska employment,
state will have the shall conduct job class surveys for all state jobs, and where a pay inequity exists, the state shall engage in a process to rectify the situation. I don't feel this is too much to ask. In fact, refuse to rectify this inequity is to perpetrate gender bias pay inequality. I urge your support to Senate Bill 2, and so that we can bring the issue to the forefront of this legislative session and work together toward accomplishing the task of rectifying state employees' pay inequity. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Questions? Seeing none. We're going to go to Anchorage to Jenny Day. Jenny Day.
Hi, this is Jenny Day Peterson. I'm the business manager with ASEA. Because of your time constraints here, I'll wait my testimony, but in deference to Pat Jones, who's our city chair. Thank you.
We're going to go to Beryl. I know I have an observer there, but do you wish to testify for that person in Beryl?
Okay. Beryl has no one to testify. We have only an observer.
All righty. That leaves us to Juno. Anybody here in Juno want to testify on SB2? Sherry?
Thank you for the record. My name is Sherry Gall, and I'm representing the Alaska Women's Lobby today in support of Senate Bill 2. And I will just leave it at that today, because we have been over this over the years, and you can understand why the Alaska Women's Lobby would like to see there be pay equity, at least in state government, if not, you know, everywhere, because the fact that we know there's a 38% wage gap between men and women's wages in Alaska, and that we know that at least half of that wage gap is due strictly to the fact that women's work is undervalued, leads to hardships for women, not only in their working life, but later on, after they have gone out of their work life and into retirement, because by making lower wages all through your work life, you're going to end up being much poorer when you are retired. So thank you.
Questions? None. Mr. Donnelly, we're out of time, and not to your fault or anybody else's fault, but I will bring this up. What I want, Dave, have you seen this letter that I received months back?
Yeah, that's what the witness responded to.
Yeah, okay. I want to pursue this even further at our next meeting to flesh it out, so because of the time restraints.
Maybe next meeting I get to make a statement about the bill.
Well, I would like to have a meeting just for this, if I can.
That'd be great.
Is there anybody else on teleconference on SB2? Okay. Dave, I'll try to schedule this as soon as possible. Thursday is going to be, we got some stuff there that's going to be controversial, so I'll try to make it Tuesday, next Tuesday. Is that okay?
Sure.
Mr. Zora?
Maybe with the content of this bill here and the controversy there, maybe we ought to just look at just one bill on Tuesday.
Yeah, that's what I was
thinking. Is it just the one bill?
Yeah. That's what I was thinking. So, all right. Any other thing to bring up? Meeting's adjourned.
You don't have a quorum to adjourn. You got to keep going.
Yeah.